Today's gospel begins with two of the disciples approaching Jesus and saying to him, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you to do." So I think one thing we can say about this is that it's good that they're going to Jesus and talking to Jesus. We really can't go wrong when we are going to Jesus and talking to Jesus. We might, even if we say the wrong thing, I think it's good reason to think that James and John here are saying the wrong thing. But the good news is that Jesus is able to straighten them out because they're talking to him. They're in dialogue with him. And this is a good thing for us to remember, that we should always talk to Jesus. Even if we're not sure that we're asking for the right thing or saying the right thing, if we come to Jesus, we're never going to be worse off for it. We're only going to be better off for it. And if we're a little misguided in what we're saying or asking for, Jesus will help us to straighten that out if we go to him. But it does seem that James and John are a little misguided in what they're saying, because what are they saying? They're saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." It's pretty bold of them to say, "Whatever we want you to do for us." I mean, I think parents can attest that this is what their little kids are looking for most times when they approach them. "This is what we want, Mom and Dad. Please do it now." So it's good for us to think about how we ask God for things and what we ask for when we go to God. Jesus says in the gospel, "Ask and you shall receive." So it's pleasing to Jesus when we go to him and ask for things, but the attitude with which we ask is really important. Do we go to him saying, "This is what I need you to do for me, and I know that this is what I need because I know best," or do we go to Jesus and say, "I need, this is what I want, but I'm going to trust you no matter what. No matter what you do, Jesus, I'll trust you." This weekend, I had a couple experiences that I've been reflecting on a lot. Yesterday morning, I had the funeral of a former student of mine who died at 25 from lung cancer. And it's very sad, obviously, that such a young man in the prime of his life. He had a nursing degree. He had worked as a nurse for just a year before his cancer diagnosis. He's just a wonderful young man. And the family prayed so much, and he prayed so much that he would be healed of his cancer, that the treatments would work, that his surgeries would work. And eventually he succumbed to the disease. On Friday, I visited a woman from Holy Trinity who's going to turn 100 years old tomorrow. And I said to her, "Did you ever think that you were going to live this long?" And she said, "Father, I wanted to go years ago." She said, "Sometimes I ask the Lord, 'Lord, I don't know why I'm here. Please, would you just take me already? All my family's gone, my friends are gone. Please just take me.'" So it's interesting how and I think we can all relate to this in the circumstances of our own life, where we can really pray for something that doesn't happen. And how we pray then becomes very important. Because if we go to God saying, "I know what's best for my life, so do what I think is best for my life, a couple things can happen. First of all, we can end up bitter and resentful, because if we think that we know what's best, and we go to God and say, well, this is what I want you to do, and God doesn't do it, and we still think that we know what's best, and God isn't doing what's best for us, well, then there can be a bitterness and a resentfulness that sets into our heart. We can become embittered, and that's a really miserable place to be, and we end up not only being miserable ourselves, but we make people miserable around us when we become embittered, because we've decided that our life isn't the way that it should be, and God could change it if he wanted to, but he's not changing it, and so he's not doing what I want him to do. Therefore, God's making my life miserable. I think the other danger that we run into when we tell God how we want it to be is that we end up us underestimating the good things that God wants to give us in surprising circumstances. So if we look at this gospel today, what are James and John asking for? Well, they're asking to sit at the right and the left of Jesus. And what are they really asking for? Glory and honor. Because to sit at the right and the left hand of the king means you have a high place in the kingdom, and there's a lot of honor and authority and power there. Those things are not bad. It's not bad to have honor or power or authority, but that's what James and John think is going to be best for them. And let's just think about what James and John, two of the apostles, end up getting, along with all the apostles. Well, after Jesus dies, rises, ascends into heaven, the apostles receive the Holy Spirit, and what do? They go out through the ends of the earth, and they're tortured and killed. And then they get a high seat in God's kingdom. So James and John ultimately will get what they want, but it's not going to happen the way that they suspect it's going to happen. It has to come through suffering. A lot of times in our life, what we ask God for is to avoid suffering somehow. In our first reading today, what do we read from the book of the prophet Isaiah? What I think is a shocking first line: the Lord was pleased to crush him in infirmity. God the Father, this is what he's talking about. God was pleased to crush Jesus in infirmity. So we don't have to read that by that like God the Father was happy to see Jesus die on the cross. Of course, God doesn't have emotions like that, so it'd be wrong to say that God was glad or happy or anything. But if we look at the next line, we get an understanding of why God would want Jesus to suffer in this way. God willed that Jesus suffer in this way. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of God shall be accomplished through him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light and fullness of days. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. What do we read here? It's through the cross that God is going to bring life to the world. It's through the cross that God is going to raise Jesus from the dead and save all of us through him, but only through the cross. And so how many times in our life are we, and I do this all the time, I'm trying to avoid the suffering that God gives me in different ways. But if I believe in the Word of God, then I have to believe that the suffering that God allows in my life, if I'll accept the sufferings that he allows in my life with Jesus, then God can do something with them. and he can make me holy, and he can make me more detached from my own will and more attached to his will for my life. And I can have more peace in my life because I'm trusting God. So there's so much that God can bring about in our lives through suffering if we will only allow him to do so. I think in both situations of this weekend that I was talking about, this family who lost their 25-year-old son, they have experienced God's grace so much through the suffering of their son, which was so painful. No parent wants to see their child suffer like that and to die. But they themselves, we sat together after the funeral, and I was just so struck by how much peace they had. But they were only able to have peace because they had accepted what God's will was for their son. Similarly, with this 100-year-old lady, she's a delight and a joy to be with. And she quickly, after she said, "I wanted to go years ago, Father," she said, "But God doesn't want that. And I accept that. God wants me to be here. And I accept that." So brothers and sisters, whatever it is that we're struggling with in our life, let's think about how we pray for it. Do we approach God giving him an ultimatum, or do we approach God saying, "I know what's best for me, give me what I know is best for me," or do we say, "Lord, I'm hurting, I need you, please, this is what I feel like I need in my life, not my will though, your will, Father." That's Jesus's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane: "Father, take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will." Can we ask the Lord today, in the ways that we struggle to accept his will in our life, in the ways that we struggle to accept this openness in prayer that God wants us to have, this openness to his will, even if it's not our own will, we can ask the Lord today to give us that trust in him so that we're able to say, along with Jesus, "Not my will, Father, but your will, because I trust you, and I know that you know what's best for me."